Welcome to Backpacker Radio, presented by The Trek. I am your co-host, Zach Badger Davis. Chance will be joining us in a minute. This is a little bit of a different format today. In lieu of your typical Backpacker Radio nonsense, today's show is brief and only an interview, no segments. We're joined by Sandy Mera, the president and CEO of the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. As I mentioned at the top of the previous podcast, the news and guidelines around COVID-19 and the trails has been changing rapidly and drastically. At the time of the previous recording, the ATC asked people to postpone their thru hikes. This applied to both people planning to leave in the near-term future, as well as those already out on the trail. Since that recording, the ATC has increased the severity of their recommendations and have started urging people to avoid the Appalachian Trail altogether, even for day hikes. Today's interview will largely center around that subject, including how the ATC arrived to this decision, when Sandy predicts the trail will be safe to hike again, amongst many other coronavirus-related questions. No ads on today's show. We wanted to get this out as soon as possible. It should be in your pocket within an hour of wrapping the conversation. In fact, if you do want to support the show, you can do so through patreon.com/backpackerradio. Obviously, we are well aware that given the current economic outlook, many are worried about how they're going to pay their bills or put food on the table. So if you're struggling right now, please, 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 please feel zero pressure to support the show. Okay, here it is, our interview with Sandy Mera of the ATC. We are recording. We are joined by Sandy Mera. Did I pronounce the last name correctly?
Yeah, it's Mera, M-A-R-A.
It wouldn't be a Backpacker Radio episode if I didn't mispronounce a name. The president and CEO of the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. So first and foremost, thank you so much for making time and joining us.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm aware that your time is likely spread incredibly thin right about now, and we'd love to do a show with you in the future to get, you know, all about your background and learn all about the ATC's current initiatives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in the interest of time, I want to jump right into the heart of the subject that weighs heavy on people's minds. That
sure.
Love is Blind just got renewed for a second season. No, I'm kidding.
Second and third.
Obviously, coronavirus is everything that people want to talk about. And, you know, the big news of the week is obviously the ATC has issued a request specifically from your letter asking people to stay off the Appalachian Trail for right now altogether. So if you could, I guess, just go over that request and how this decision was reached.
Yeah, and it's definitely been an evolution. Our position and as reflected in our messaging. So what is now, I guess, going on to 3 weeks ago when all this first started, you know, we started trying to put some plans in place pretty quickly to figure out how we might anticipate some things that were coming down. And in fact, initially, all we did really was look at kind of internally. We had several meetings scheduled, in-person meetings scheduled with our volunteer corps. And we made a pretty early call, even before things were moving on, I think, on a national level, to move all those meetings virtually, just in anticipation because of just sort of what we were getting a sense of with talking to people and the information that the way we were interpreting. So then we moved into, as clear guidance started coming out, and one of the things that I did was initiate a call with trail leaders from across the country. So the Pacific Crest Trail, Continental Divide, North Country, Arizona Trail, Florida Trail, Ice Age Trail, New York, New Jersey.
It's like when the Avengers come together.
Yeah, we put together kind of this you know, super group of staff and staff leaders from these organizations and started immediately being able to benefit from some guidance that, in fact, Colorado Mountain Club were one of the earliest ones to come out with some really clear guidance for both hikers and for volunteers on what was and was not safe behavior in light of COVID-19. And it was really during that first call with all of those collective trails that we started recognizing, and we found all of ourselves having arrived at it independently, but together, that there wasn't going to be any way that our overnight section and through hikers were going to be able to safely do what they do and adhere to what was the best advice coming out of the experts is to social distancing and staying away from people, even in the early days. I mean, those hikers who are familiar with the AT, you know, we go through an annual bout, particularly in the South, with norovirus, and it spreads rapidly and it can be extremely virulent. And so we're well aware of what we can and cannot control when it comes to hygiene, cleanliness of shelters and privies, and how much we can control the spread of any kind of infectious disease. The potential that this disease brings is, you know, tenfold what norovirus does. And so the concept of people sleeping nose to nose in shelters, sharing food and activities around a picnic table, congregating at trailheads and then loading into cars that belong, you know, with drivers that are from a local community. We just saw this, you know, this kind of picture exploding where hikers very completely unintentionally, but could in fact become vectors and carriers of this for a wide swath of the East Coast. And so we, and I think the PCT, CDT absolutely were arriving at their same decisions and conclusions on their own as well. So that's where we pretty much as a cascading, I think ATC came out first, but then PCT and CDT definitely followed with very clear guidance saying, if you haven't started your hike, please don't. And if you're on your hike, please leave. So that's the evolution of that message. At that point, I was still, in fact, I did an interview where I very specifically said, it was actually with Outside Magazine, where I'm quoted as saying, you know, but I'm still saying if a family and their kids can get out on the trail and run for an hour, we so totally support that. So I was, that's where my head was. What happened though, as millions of people were out of schools and out of college and out of work, and we suddenly, again, and it's not just us, I think it's every public land manager in the country, suddenly saw a influx of visitors of which in many cases are never seen at this time or at all, that we realized we had a bigger problem than just safety and well-being of our, that's coming from our section and through hikers. And that was a much harder call for us to make. You know, we manage a public resource. I mean, the whole point of the AT is to bring people to the trail. So for us to have come out with a statement saying, don't come, was incredibly difficult for all of us to make. But again, at the end of the day, we brought the best minds that we could together. We had further conversations with all of our other trail leaders. We've spent a tremendous amount of time talking to our at our federal level, our forest and National Park Service partners. We had a call where we maxed out at the 99 Zoom members of our local trail maintaining clubs and all of our state managers from down from Maine and or up from Maine down to Georgia, specifically a lot from our Mid-Atlantic. Pennsylvania in particular is very rich in our state managers, and they were all saying we can't handle it. It's our parking lots are overflowing, our trash cans are overflowing, because simultaneous to all of this, as organizations, we're calling back all our staff, right? So there are no rangers out there. There are no custodial staff to clean the bathrooms. We told our volunteer corps, you know, you need to stand down. We don't think that it is safe for you to be out there interacting with multiple strangers, again, based on the best advice that we were getting, primarily at a state level, where the states were going overall for their residents. And there was also, quite frankly, there's the unintended consequences of these kinds of things. So while individuals may, in fact, be bringing the virus to the trail or even more concerning in some levels to the local community by which they enter the trail through this day hiking, there's also just that 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 number of people, the number of neophytes probably coming, because, you know, it's not going to be your core hiking group, but suddenly everyone decides, oh, let me go hike the Appalachian Trail. The potential for other accidents and pressure on local search and rescue, local hospitals, local healthcare places also grows. And so you maybe are in a small community that's already nervous and stressed about dealing what if they have a COVID or two cases, or just trying to lock down and keep where they need to be on a national because of the, of what's happening nationally. And now they're having to deploy their limited resources to go rescue, you know, a couple hikers that didn't know they shouldn't be bushwhacking off the trail. So every factor that we could was fed into this. We didn't just stand there and say, oh, it's going to be easier on us to tell people to stay home. We really carefully gathered information. We analyzed, we looked at potential different scenarios. We listened to what our partners were asking us to do to support them. We did, you know, on one call, one of our regional managers pointed out that collectively we had probably a couple hundred years of resource management experience on that call with our staff. Because again, we've recalled our volunteers. We've recalled the people who are out there that are making sure that our shelter sites are clean and well-maintained. We are taking out the people that normally would be educating folks on leave no trace ethics. So the lack of that guidance and oversight can lead to significant and maybe permanent damage to the resource as well. So everything was thought about, talked about, and considered. And there just was no way that we could see our way through. And that we also feel on this day and time right now, the clearest we can be in our messaging, the better, because it's not like we're not having to deal with a lot of vagueness from other things coming at us. And so can we at least do what we think is the absolute right thing and express it as clearly as we can, which is why at the end it ended up in a one-page message that simply said, please stay home.
That's interesting, because you don't think – you'd think, you know, shutting down section hiking and through hiking would cut down on the traffic, but with the number of people working from home now – you know, it's so much easier to slip out in the middle of the day for a day hike. So it is feasible that the AT sees as much traffic right now, given the current circumstance, and without those resources to be able to patrol the trail and inform hikers on the trail. That is a good point that I hadn't really considered. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest with you, I mean, to a certain extent, it was one of the factors. It wasn't the only one, but one of the factors was that, you know, and we started getting a few reports anecdotally, was, listen, to ask somebody to stop a, you know, even a section hike takes sometimes, I think, even more kind of coordination. Sometimes you've committed your entire vacation to this than a through hike. But those folks have made some significant sacrifices and changes, right, to plan this hike. So the idea of asking them to come home is way bigger than telling, you know, some guy from the city, just don't hike on the AT for the next 2 weeks. I mean, it's, you know, to a certain extent, I'm like, for heaven's sakes, how hard is that? But so we did really recognize the sacrifices. You know, people quit their jobs. They sell their cars. They, you know, give their dog to their parents. I mean, we know what folks do to get ready to go for one of these long hikes. So we understand that sacrifice. So, but what we were hearing from them is, you know, as they were literally trying to do the right thing and make their way off the trail, well, now all of a sudden they're running into, like, you know, dozens of people just out with their day packs and sneakers. And they're like, well, what the heck? You know, you're telling us we're not allowed to be here. And now we're getting overrun with these day users. So, again, not the only reason, but it was a message that we took to heart as well. And we're, you know, we realized it's not like something you can kind of parse out as to, well, you get to do this, but you can't do that kind of thing. So it actually fed into that decision.
Interesting. Have you thought about just closing the trail in sections, the way that you section things off when there's like high bear activity, saying that, you know, you can't camp from mile X to mile Y. Okay. Have you thought about closing sections of the high traffic portion of the trail and allowing it to be open in some of these more remote areas where, you know, it's not near high population centers?
It's certainly a possibility. I will say it's the sort of thing, if you visualize, you know, kind of pushing water through a, you know, through a kind of a hose, you know, if you have a bubble and you push it through, it does tend to potentially just move the bubble to other places. So again, that unintended consequence, if we shut off McAfee Knob and Tinker Cliffs area, which is super popular, do we just push them into new areas that might not be busy, and then that crowd just moves a little bit further down the trail? So typically we found across the board that it's really difficult to kind of do that and ensure that the disbursement is actually broad enough and doesn't just end up pushing the concentration to a different spot.
Yeah.
So the other part, though, is I do want to be really clear about this, is that at the end of the day, there's no way to physically close anything on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, I'm going
to
clarify that point in the question. I misspoke. Because you're not actually closing the trail. This is a request on behalf of the ATC.
Right. I mean, no one can even officially say the trail is closed, but the Secretary of the Interior, right? So that's the first thing. We have no authority. Mm-hmm. From that standpoint, to close the trail. And again, and I don't know how, you know, this just goes into the complicated system that we live in. I mean, there are actually sections of the trail now that are closed by virtue of the fact that Great Smoky Mountain and Shenandoah have closed completely. Like, they've closed their backcountry, they've closed their borders for all intents and purposes. So we're already getting sections of trail that are, in fact, quote-unquote closed by virtue of what lands that section traverses. So that breakup is already happening. But even there, again, there's no physical barrier that we can create to absolutely keep people from entering the trail. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of arriving to the recommendation to close the trail both to section hikers, through hikers, and day hikers, you said that you're working with other organizations. Can you elaborate on where you're getting your guidance from? And in addition to obviously just the CDC's overall recommendations, I assume that the ATC's got access to some higher level people. I'm curious if you can speak to where you're getting your information and guidance from.
Well, I wish we could say that we had access to hire. we definitely are talking to our superintendent, right, with the National Park Service. And so she's privy to everything that's happening in the Department of Interior and the information that's going out to all national parks across the country. So we do have that resource. The same, we can speak to our chief rangers in all of our different forests. That they're getting the information that they, again, from a nationwide standpoint, what their agency is parsing out to them. So from a public land management standard, we're definitely getting that. I think our state partners can bring good insight, because in a lot of ways, just overall looking at how the country's dealing with this, it seems to me that the states are the ones that are really taking the lead on making these decisions. The state health offices are having a lot of influence on the decisions. So that, I think, is partly where we're getting information that is helpful. I mean, we do look at CDC and who, I mean, we got a lot of incredibly smart, talented, experienced people on staff at ATC. I mean, there are some absolutely without comparison, some of the best public land managers I think that you can find in the world. And so I thoroughly trust their judgment and their understanding of how to keep our visitors and our resource safe and secure through any kind of crisis. So including this. So from that standpoint, that's part of what we do is we're getting the same information as everyone else. We may be making sure that we carefully read through all of it, but we're also applying a lens and an analysis that comes from years of experience of managing the trail through multiple kinds of things, whether it be severe storms or government shutdowns, ups and downs in the economy. We understand what drives different, you know, crowd levels and behavior. You know, that's, I think, where we're paying attention.
So what are you guys doing about the people that are still on trail, the people that don't listen? You know, because you see it all over the internet right now on all the Facebook groups, you know, people bragging about getting the last tag at the ATC center, you know, all the stuff that's going on. How do you handle that?
Well, I mean, because our strength is in influence, not in, we don't have authority. What we do is we have influence, and we have a pretty good communications team, and we've got at least a couple staff solely dedicated to kind of countering those messages on social media, at least to give a different perspective. It's sort of, and I don't know if you guys, I'm trying to think of her trail name now. She seemed to have a pretty high profile blog, Hiking with Pigtails. Does that ring a bell? Yeah, it's interesting. You might want to, because she sort of has evolved as well. And she was one of those early ones saying, you know, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to stay doing this hike. And then I just saw yesterday or today that she came out with, I thought, a really powerful message about, you know what, at the end of the day, I've really thought about this and it's time for me to leave, as hard as it is. So I think some of how we're hoping to influence it is making sure that peer-to-peer communication is being shared as broadly as possible, because I think that is going to be way more powerful than anything we say or do to help influence the other's behavior. You know, at the end of the day, we're always going to have the folks that just aren't, they're just not going to do it, right? And at the end of the day, we're not going to be able to physically remove them, or nor would we try to do that from the trail. But I do think that there, at least what I'm seeing, is there's a little bit more of a groundswell among the hiker community that they're starting to challenge these folks themselves rather than it having to be us.
Sorry, Zach, are you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, because you see that people are saying like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, I'll camp on the trail. I'll just go into town to get my post office box and I'll go back to trail. And like, when I read this stuff, I can't tell if they're just trying to find loopholes, if they're intentionally ignoring it, or if they, you know, can look at that scenario and honestly think that they're not going to be, you know, interacting with people face to face and spreading it town to town.
Yeah.
You know, because I have asthma myself. So I, you know, I've been extra careful about all of this. Mm-hmm. But even what I see, you know, in my friend groups here or in the community here is people are looking for loopholes. You know, they're not really seeing what's happening in something that can affect them. They're just trying to find ways to still do what they're doing in their life without having to make accommodations for it.
Right. And unfortunately, there's always that small group of people in any instance, but certainly on the Appalachian Trail, just on an annual basis. I mean, it's not just, you know, this is a big loophole, right, that they're trying to get through at this point, or it's a big issue that they're trying to get around. But we, you know, we have folks that don't act appropriately with the resource on an annual basis, or don't act appropriately when they head into town as hikers. I mean, there's always issues, and there's always going to be that core group. I do think overall, that I know for a fact that overall the majority of hikers are great and responsible and caring people, and that most of the time that peer-to-peer communication can help mitigate some of that bad behavior with the small group, but not always. And sometimes that small group then behaves in such a way that creates a problem that ruins it for everybody. And I would hate, unfortunately, right now, that small group could be making a selfish decision that ends up with somebody dying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's been some talk online of thru-hikers who do want to get off trail and they are allegedly unable to. They're not, you know, obviously people are going to be much more reluctant to pitch up hitchhikers right now. Shuttle services are shutting down. Do you have any wisdom or overall thoughts that you'd like to convey for those who are on the trail who have changed their mind and they now want to go back and do the stay-at-home order?
Yeah, I mean, and we're definitely getting those kind of reports out of Fontana Dam area and down south because, again, you know, part of this in not getting off a week and a half ago, communities are starting to shut down services. So they're struggling to find shuttle and other transportation just to get themselves off the trail. And, you know, I think some folks just who thought they were going to keep going were caught by surprise when Smoky Mountain said we're shutting everything down. So, I mean, what I'm hearing today, reports coming out, is that as always, our AT communities are somewhat rallying, even maybe at their own danger, but they're still doing the right thing for our hikers, and that there are shuttle services that are starting to try to get folks off. I think, you know, folks, it's not like, oh my God, I got to leave the trail this moment and I'm 6 miles from a remote trailhead. I mean, I would suggest that the most responsible thing if you're out there is look for the next spot. I know a lot of folks are getting off in Hot Springs because that's a place where family can come easily and pick them up, or, you know, there's other opportunities for a little bit more of a public transportation option. I mean, I do think in a way one of the consequences of not listening to this till the 11th hour is going to mean some folks are going to get stranded places, because I mean, you know, you talked about picking up your mailbox. Well, what I'm hearing is at least like in New York and some of the neighborhoods in New York and out in San Francisco, they're closed the post offices. And again, you know, I don't know, hopefully that level of a hotspot won't happen among our rural communities up and down the AT, but I don't know that it won't, or they'll make some other decision. The U.S. Postal Service is just going to make a decision because they've got employees they have to be responsible for. I definitely have heard already that getting resupplies in the stores and stuff, even if they're open, it's tough because there's barely enough stuff for the locals. I mean, my grocery store here, I'm in Harpers Ferry, and, you know, so we're a trail town, but it's a big, big, Charlestown has big grocery stores. It's wiped clean.
Yeah. So the question that I think weighs heaviest on everyone who was planning a thru-hike's mind for this year is, well, you know, when you issued the statement that people should postpone their thru-hikes, you didn't offer any sort of date for reassessment, or even that there would be a reassessment period in 2020. Do you foresee a scenario where thru-hiking will be opened back up in 2020? Do you think southbound season is still potentially game on, or at what point do you think that you will reevaluate the suggested closing of the trail?
You know, I wish I had that crystal ball and could give you an answer to that question. But at the end of the day, I don't think we know the answer to when any of this is going to end for any aspect of our life. This hiking is an important piece to it, and southbound hike, and God bless them if at this point, you know, they're still in a position where that's their only worry is, am I going to be able to start my southbound hike? I have a sense that as the next couple of weeks progress, we're going to find ourselves with much more fundamental concerns as it relates to, you know, do I still have a job? You know, what am I really going to do with my kid that now is completely out of school until next September? What happens to that, the fact that my college is shut down, or that, you know, I mean, I get it. And I understand there's a certain comfort that comes with us kind of walking through these questions as though, well, this is just a blip. It's just a blizzard. Right. And so at some point the sun comes out and the snow's going to melt. I don't think, though, that that's how this is going to play out exactly. And I don't know exactly how it will, but I would not even think about offering someone some answer to that question right now.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously, so it sounds like a wait and see thing, but are you, is the ATC open to the idea of changing their guidance in terms of?
Yeah, if suddenly, you know, we get word on a national level that the virus has been eradicated and, you know, the health officials and the scientists are saying this is fine and we're done and we've got the vaccine or whatever that solution looks like. Yeah, I mean, we're as much as anybody want to get back to business as normal for everyone and would absolutely lift that guidance. But those would be the triggers that I'd be looking for.
Yeah. So I guess, and my follow-up is, I predict a scenario where it's going to be a lot of gray area in between the, you know, we're in the black right now of strict social distancing. A lot of states and counties have issued stay at home orders to the end of the road where, like you said, there's a vaccine and everyone's been vaccinated and it's not a worry anymore. There's going to be a long period of gray. Is there a specific indicator that the ATC would look at in terms of, okay, so now this is what is being said, so we will remove our guidance for people to stay off the AT? Is there a specific thing that would trigger the ATC's changing of their guidance?
I think at the end of the day, we'd be looking up to our federal partners as seeing what that trigger is. Again, you know, when these parks do in fact reopen, I think, you know, it's a difficult question to answer because if we were in a normal world where there was, you know, 100% clear guidance coming out at a national level that we all felt totally comfortable with, you know, I could say, yeah, when that national guidance comes out and says it's okay to go, we'd be right there. I think that we don't necessarily have that right now, that clarity on a national level. You know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. This idea that, well, you know, it's all going to be okay by Easter. I would probably still err in my guidance to the community that I feel ultimately is my responsibility, which are our visitors and our AT communities, to still say, you know, we still feel that there is a high probability of infection in the nature of tight quarters of hiking. So if at a very least you're going to go back at all, really, really super avoid all the popular areas. Just don't go to McAfee Knob. Just, you know, don't go to Annapolis Rocks in Maryland. Don't go to places that we know it is impossible to maintain 6 inches in some cases, let alone 6 feet. Because I would still be looking at what the health community and the science is saying about what it's going to take to really eradicate this virus that we're in. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah, that I think that answers the question well. Mm-hmm. And I think my last question is, I'm curious to get your take on your philosophy in hiking right now in general. So obviously, you know, AT off limits in your mind. Are you getting out on hikes, or someone listening to this who the only sense of peace that they're able to find is out in their couple hour long, you know, 6 mile hike to finally get away from all the doomsday news and just kind of forget about what's happening. Do you have any, like, what's your personal philosophy on hiking in general right now?
Well, I think it feeds more into my personal philosophy of going out of doors, period, right now. So I personally am making a decision that my hiking is literally just walking around my neighborhood. So, and I can kind of, you know, step off the sidewalk if I see folks coming towards me. I mean, luckily I live in a, you know, pretty small town of Harpers Ferry. And so, you know, plenty of nice sidewalks and trees are blooming kind of thing. And we can go out, my husband and me, just by ourselves and be by ourselves. But, you know, I think this is the kind of event that really drives people to evaluate, you know, who they are and where they, where their real value systems lie. And I think that one of the reasons, as tough as it has been for us to make the decisions that we've made, as ATC has made, we've been able to make it because we've always really clearly understood the values of the Appalachian Trail. And it's a value of stewardship, of shared responsibility, of community, of connecting people, and understanding that none of us stand alone and that none of our actions are without consequences or some interaction that affects something else, whether it be the resource or the people that we meet on the trail, or how we find ourselves looking at the world differently when we come off the trail. So it's because of that value system that we were able to finally say, look, at the end of the day, what people are saying is stay home. Isolate yourself with your family. That is the only way to kill what could potentially be a devastating infectious disease. And so I don't care what you try to do. That to me is what I say. So sit on your porch, sit on your deck, walk through your backyard, you know, walk the dog down the block and come back home. I mean, you know, I'm watching folks and I'm like, my heavens, we've been asked to do this. It's only 2 weeks. I mean, when you look at how the rest of the world sometimes lives and the things that they're having to live with, and the fact that we just seem to be imploding because we're being asked to stay home a couple of weeks with Wi-Fi and Netflix, which in general we'd be all happy, like, oh my God, I'm so thrilled that we had a big blizzard and we're snowed in for a week. We'd be thrilled. It's only because somebody's saying we have to do it that we all seem to be freaking out now. I just keep hoping that if those of us who have the value system that I feel is really about, that we're, you know, we said very clearly in the release, if the only way everyone is safe is, you know, if one person is not safe, then no one is safe, right? I mean, the point being, we all have a responsibility to keep each other safe. And the best advice, and the advice that I trust, coming from science and doctors, is saying stay home.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't go on a hike right now.
I don't remember where I first saw this quote, but it goes, your grandparents were asked to go to war. You are being asked to stay home and watch Netflix. So it's
right.
It's good to keep that perspective that, you know, it obviously could be way, way worse. And I know, obviously, there are a lot of, as you mentioned, people that were preparing or were out on their through hikes that have had their lives completely flipped upside down. But, you know, I think it's worth keeping in perspective that it could be much, much worse.
Yeah, and I really hope, you know, that outlets like yours, and that you really start celebrating those folks that have, in fact, made those sacrifices to get on the trail and then have made the further sacrifice to come back home. I think that's a really important message. I feel like right now a lot of people are just kind of focused on what people are doing wrong. And I think we really need to start celebrating that so many people are doing the right thing. And again, I really feel like our hikers in particular can be role models in all kinds of things, because at the end of the day, they really are just an incredible core of people. And I really do believe that the majority of them are right now making all those right decisions. And I think we need to start sharing those stories more, so that folks can see and appreciate that.
Well said, well said. And I should have mentioned earlier, but we're working to put together a spreadsheet for those people who do want to do the right thing in terms of connecting hikers out on the trail who are having trouble getting back to the airport, the train station, the bus station, or whatever,
oh, great.
Whatever it might be. So I hope to include that in the show notes. There's a good chance that this will come out before we have even the first version of that out. But I just want to let people know that we are working on trying to help hikers who are out on the trail who do want to do the right thing, you know, enable them to do the stay-at-home order.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, that's great.
Chance, do you have any other questions?
No, I just think when it comes down to it, you know, it's all about minimizing impact. Like, I think it goes back to leave no trace, and you wouldn't see people, you know, not burying their toilet paper and being vocal about it. You wouldn't see people leaving trash on the trail and being vocal about it. And one of the main parts of Leave No Trace is minimizing your impact. And it's, you know, everyone saying that, hey, this is the opposite of minimizing your impact right now. I think people should see that, you know, staying on and not taking the responsible path is, you know, in a way violating Leave No Trace.
That's a great analogy. I hadn't really thought of it specifically like that. So, yeah. I totally agree.
Well, Sandy, thank you so much for your time. I know that obviously you've been incredibly busy over the last.
It's okay. Days.
Yeah. But and we're yeah. we're very appreciative of your time. And, you know, I think your message will be well received by
Great.
Our listeners. So thank you again.
All right. Well, yeah you both take care. Definitely. You know, yeah. Stay home.
Staying at home.
I'm on day 12.
Yeah. Great. My new world tour. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you to Sandy for her time, and thanks to you for listening. As for the future of Backpacker Radio, we do have one more in-person interview in the chamber recorded a handful of days before the shit really hit the fan. Beyond that, given Chance's higher risk with COVID-19 due to her asthma and just the overall recommendation to avoid unnecessary travel, we will be conducting interviews remotely. Much like today's show. The bad news is I really am of the mindset that the quality of an in-person interview is generally much higher. The good news is that we are no longer bounded by distance, space, or even time. We will travel back or forward in time just for you. So if there's someone you'd really like to hear on the show who's not in our area, let us know. We can and will make it happen. Similarly, we're going to make our best effort to keep the show as fun as possible in the meantime, and we're already bouncing around some very weird ideas. But as always, we'd love to hear yours. Hit us up at podcast@thetrek.co. Until the next show, thanks for listening, be safe, and happy hiking.
That's my good chair!
That's your good chair?
Yeah!
It's covered in bird shit.
No! That's toothpaste,
That's
man.
Clearly bird shit.
No, it's not as toothpaste.
Do you even own a toothbrush?
Look, don't bring...
Oh, yeah. Wow.